Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Let's move on to our Ask a Pastor segment. Remember, this segment is designed for you, quite literally you. Whatever question you have in mind that bothers you, send it over. I'll send it to my producer or send it directly to my producer and tell them you want it to be done during our Ask a Pastor segment, and my producer will find you a pastor, just like she has done with our pastor for this week. And I will do my best to ask your question as genuinely and directly as possible and try to elicit some nuances that come from your question. So please, do your part, I'll do my part, and I can assure you the pastor will do his part to answer your question. Pastor for this week is Pastor Ayes Kavasa, Pastor ABC, joining us on the line. Pastor, good afternoon to you. Welcome, and thank you very much for agreeing to talk to us.
Good afternoon. It's a pleasure. It's always a pleasure to participate and take part and help people with important questions. I hope you're doing good.
I'm doing great, Pastor. Thank you very much. I'm looking forward to our interaction this week. It's always, always eye-opening. Let's get into our question for today, Pastor. It says, should someone take the Bible literally, or is more of a guide with symbolic stories?
Wow, this is a good question, and I think it is a question of our times. You know, recently, a lot of secular scholars are beginning to embrace the psychological, social, and emotional contributions of Scripture. And so they are actually recommending that people read the Bible. We have, I can mention one. I think many people know Jordan Peterson.
Yes.
The clinical psychologist.
Right. He's right.
Currently, he's listed as the most influential Western scholar. And he suggests that we can look at the Bible as an ideological book, although he recognizes that what the Bible indicates, for example, about Jesus, he says he cannot disagree that Jesus never existed. So what I can say is this, in light of all these current debates, you know, the Bible itself presents historical, literal narratives, but it also presents symbolic. And so for me to say we should take the Bible as symbolic is not doing justice to Scripture, because there are narratives. They are written as historical accounts. For example, what do we do with the Gospels recounting Jesus? And we know from extra-biblical materials, and you can read, for example, Tom Holland, who's an atheist, a historian. He recounts how the narrative on Jesus' life is a historical account. Of course, you find secular historians that don't believe in the resurrection. They don't believe he walked on water, but they believed he existed. And so the narratives on Jesus' life were historical accounts, and many other. It speaks of Pilate. It speaks of Herod. So the Bible indicates when it is making a reference to historical people, historical time, during historical events. And then if you read Revelations, if you read Daniel, the Bible presents a beast coming out of the ocean. And then it tells you that the beast represents kings and kingdoms. And the waters that you saw represents a multitude of people. So the Bible itself tells you when it is being symbolic and when it is being literal. And at times, in one narrative, in one chapter, in one context or paragraph, it gives you both historical, literal, but also symbolic. So to answer the question and saying it's literal or it's symbolic is not doing justice. I can say you find both literal things and symbolic things. I hope that helps.
It does. It does. And for the record, I too like some of the things that are said by Dr. Jordan Peterson. However, of late, as a South African journalist, been practicing for 26 years now in journalism, I listened to him giving an interview on South African history and politics with Ernst Roots, Dr. Ernst Roots. And every high thing that I thought about Dr. Jordan Peterson just fell to the ground because, oh Lord, he butchered our history and he sodomized our politics. But I understand it is not everybody who is going to be jack of all trades, but I would have loved Dr. Peterson not to be Jordan of all trades. But I do understand he has clout in other areas, and I did see him cry at some stage talking about the role Jesus plays in human life, and I thought, beautiful, lovely, and I suppose we're all human. But as for the issue of the Bible being allegorical or literal, to the untrained eye, such as mine, I'm trained in journalism and the law, but not in scriptures. How then do we know when you're saying sometimes you'll find the Bible both way doesn't tell you it's allegorical or symbolical. It will have both. How do you tell in those areas where it appears to be gray for us untrained readers?
Oh, that's a good comment, respectfully, and a very good question too. Now, for example, it depends on what type of literature. For example, when you look at prophecy, Revelations chapter 7, verse 1, it says that there were four angels withholding winds from the four corners of the earth. Mm. Now, we know the earth does not have four corners.
Yeah.
So automatically, you know that that's symbolic language, especially because in the first century, when that book was written, Revelations, when people used the expression four corners of the world, they were referring to north, south, east, west.
Right,
they were trying to say universal.
Right, right.
Universal. So when you read literature from the first century or earlier saying four corners of the world, you know that that person is trying to say universal. And so when the Bible says there are four angels withholding four winds in the four corners of the earth, you know that they are withholding the winds from reaching the whole globe.
Right.
So just by the way it is written, you can tell this is symbolic because we don't literally have four corners. The other thing is this. Whenever, like I gave the example, for example, the Bible in Revelation will say, I saw four beasts.
Mm.
And then if you keep reading, it tells you the beast represents four kings and four kingdoms. So sometimes the Bible gives a symbol and then it tells you. Other times it gives you a symbol. And if you carefully read, you know that this is not literal. Like, for example, the Bible says in Daniel, I saw a leopard with four wings.
Right.
Ah, this cannot be literal. We don't have leopards with four wings.
Mm.
So these things indicate to you that it's symbolic. But even if you keep on reading in Daniel, an angel comes to Daniel and tells him, listen, those animals, those four animals that you saw, they represent four kingdoms.
Okay.
So this is a brief example I can give you, because you find also symbols in poetic literature.
Right.
Even in prose, even in historical narratives, you find some symbols. So we readers need to read carefully and consider context.
Right.
And we will be able to deduce if this is symbolic or literal. Also, reading the Bible in light of tota scriptura, that principle that all the Bible is aligned. So if I read something here, I'm not sure if it's symbolic or literal. Let me try to look in other books, something similar. That may also help me to determine if it's symbolic or literal.
So we have a bit of a situation, Pastor, where we are going to use phrases interchangeably. And I suppose in all good faith, they are meant to be the same thing, but they're not. I'll give you an example. When we speak of scripture, we tend to speak of only canonized scripture. As far as the Protestant movement is concerned, we are referring to scripture only to the 66 books, which is a fairly reduced number of books compared to the original number of books that were more than 80-something. And my curiosity is, when we are saying scripture, are we referring to canonized literature? Or are we referring to the totality of the literature that has existed throughout time? We know that there are other scriptures that are not part of the 66 books that the Protestant movement has. We call it the Bible, but we know it's a reduced number. It's an edited list of books. You'll find in the Old Testament and in the New Testament them referring to other books, the book of Tobit, the book of the Maccabees, the book of the Wars, the book of Wisdoms, and so forth. Our Bible refers to these books, uses these books as sources. These prophets have read these books and quoted from these books, but we as Protestants don't have these books. We have the audacity of referring to some books as the Apocrypha, and yet the people who gave us these very same books still retain these books in their text. So I'm not quite sure when we are going to say total scriptura, are we referring to all of the books that have ever existed, or the ones that were only chosen during the process of canonization?
Well, let me answer that, and let me also correct a couple of things you mentioned.
Okay.
So first, when we say tota scriptura, that principle that was well used during the Reformation period, there were actually five prominent ones. But tota scriptura, the Protestant scripture, we are referring to the Protestant scripture because the other books that were not included, they have serious theological contradictions, where we have narratives of God cursing, where we have narratives of conflict between humans and angels. We have theological contradictions on the character of God being unjust, of God doing immoral things. For example, you mentioned that the authors in the Bible quote those books. Well, that's not actually an accurate portrayal. It's not that they quote those books. We know of some authors who quoted some things, not from all those books. For example, and one of the most known ones, this is a whole different area because now we're going to textual criticism, and I believe it's not the focus of the question that was raised. But just to respond to what you said, so Enoch, for example, there are three known books of Enoch that are not included in scripture. The third one is the one most people are familiar with. But we find Jude quoting an information from the book of Enoch. That doesn't mean that the whole book of Enoch is inspired. We have books today that contradict scripture, books that go against the character of God. But within those books, there are certain things that are true. And so if I quote, for example, Adolf Hitler, when Adolf Hitler, for example, says that mothers need to take care of their children, and I quote that in my academic article defending how the Bible teaches that parents should take care of their children, or mothers should take care of their kids. And I say, even Adolf Hitler said that mothers need to take care of their children, something like that. It doesn't mean I am recommending the writings of Adolf Hitler. It doesn't mean I'm saying that everything that Adolf Hitler has written is true. So by Jude quoting something in the book of Enoch, it doesn't mean he's recommending that we read those books and that those books are inspired. It's just a factual statement within the book that is being quoted. And it's not something common. You don't find every biblical author quoting from books that are not included in scripture. So, yeah, that's what I can quickly, briefly respond to.
Okay, not a problem. Perhaps on at a different time and on a different day, we could talk about it. And you did say total scriptura, and that's what I was inquiring about, which I thought perhaps you intended to say sola scriptura, but you're reiterating that you actually meant total scriptura, a conversation that I think we can have on a different day, Mfundisi.
Sure, sure. Tota Scriptura was another principle, just like sola Scriptura, sola gratia, soli Deo gloria, sola fide. Tota Scriptura means that all of Scripture, inspired Scripture that we Protestant believe, the 66 books, Tota Scriptura, all of the Scripture should be used, especially when we are interpreting the Bible. We
okay.
derive a contextual interpretation, but we look at other literature in the Bible to verify whether we have correctly interpreted a particular text or not. But well presented. I think your question is, how do I put it, is in line with the expression of Tota Scriptura, but I think it's just time. Time doesn't allow us to get into textual criticism.
All right. Thank you very much, Mfundisi. I really appreciate your time and your insights. We're going to do this again tomorrow when we deal with another question. From now until then, I'm going to be reading some more, Mfundisi. Have a wonderful day further.
Greetings.
All right. That is our pastor for this week. He'll be addressing all of our questions that you have sent. Please keep on sending those questions. I'll ask them as best as I can.
You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.